You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This week marks the 210th birthday of one of America's best-known writers, Edgar Allan Poe, born on January 19, 1809. He was the epitome of the tortured poet, the master of the creepy and macabre. Here's the climax of one of his best-known stories, The Tell-Tale Heart, as read by G.M. Danielson.
But anything was better than this agony. Anything was more tolerable than this derision. I could bear those hypocritical smiles no longer. I felt I must scream or die. And now again, hark. Louder, 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 louder. Villains! I shrieked. Dissemble no more. I admit the deed. Tear up the planks. Here, here! It is the beating of his hideous heart.
And indeed, Edgar Allan Poe's heart stopped beating at a very young age. He was only 40 when he died under a cloud of mystery. University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor Dr. Howard Markell is here to do some medical detective work. Even Poe's burial place is kind of shrouded in mystery. Didn't he used to have someone leaving offerings each year?
Yes. There was the Poe toaster, he was called. And it began either in the late 30s or the 40s. And it was a man dressed in black with a wide brim hat and a white scarf. And he had a silver tip cane. And he would toast to Poe's memory with Martell cognac, leave the bottle of cognac on the gravesite, as well as a single red rose. There's been even mysteries of who that Poe toaster was and when he passed away, who took it over and things like that. But yes, people reported on that every year in the Baltimore Press.
And as I recall, literary critic H.L. Mencken had his own rather inimitable way of honoring Poe.
Yes, Mencken lived only a few blocks away. And when he had one of his famous drinking parties, he would take the walk over to the west side of Baltimore where Poe is buried and urinate on his grave as, quote, a sign of respect.
All right. So take us back to the circumstances of Poe's death in 1849.
Well, it's October 3rd, mm-hmm. and it's election night, and he was found literally in the gutter, inebriated, out of his gourd, so to speak, bedraggled, probably beaten, and in another man's clothing. And the man who found him was a pressman for the Baltimore Sun, and he brought him to the nearest hospital. And there he stayed for the next 4 or 5 days, completely incoherent. He would utter out Reynolds, but nobody knows who Reynolds was. And then he died on a Sunday morning in February of 1849.
And what was the official cause of death?
Well, the doctor called it phrenitis, which is an early 19th century term for brain congestion or brain swelling. It was often a term for alcoholism and its toxic effects.
And a polite way of saying
a polite way,
someone
yes,
drank
right.
himself to death
exactly,
in essence.
Exactly.
But what was particularly mysterious about the location of where he was?
Well, that's what's so neat. He was right outside Gunner's Hall in West Baltimore, which no longer exists. And that was a polling place. And there was this fascinating habit or tradition, something called cooping. And I love this when you think about fraud at the polls today. We have nothing on the early 19th century America. And gangs who represented different parties, Democrats, Republicans, or what have you, would kidnap people. They would then beat the living daylights out of them and make them vote under different personalities or names at the nearest polling station. Then they would pull them out, feed them to a drink or a beer or a whiskey, redress them in another man's clothing, and then they would show up as a different person. And this went on and on and on until they were no longer coherent. And that makes a lot of sense when you think of Poe, beaten up, bedraggled, wearing another man's clothing and right outside of a polling place.
But there were other theories. Doctors, you write how doctors really enjoy kind of spinning ideas as far as what might have happened.
Yeah, we all sit together and smoke cigars and drink cognac and talk about he went that away. And particularly with these older cases, but there's no medical records or a death certificate for Poe, and we don't have a lot of material to work on. So you're never really wrong. But one person suggests that he died of carbon monoxide poisoning, which is not a terrible theory when you think of people who stayed indoors a lot and used either coal gas or coal-burning stoves to heat themselves. It is possible they could have inhaled too much carbon monoxide. They actually exhumed the body and took nail clippings, but it was inconclusive. Another doctor suggested he died of mercury poisoning. Now, in the summer of 1849 was a terrible cholera epidemic. It reached as far as Michigan, in fact, as far west as St. Louis. And mercury was a medicine that was given, all for naught, but was given quite commonly. But while Poe did have mercury in his toenails, it was way too low of a dose to cause mercury poisoning. Those were two of the best theories, but people have suggested brain tumors, influenza, rabies, you name it, they've said it.
And he wasn't from Baltimore.
No, he was really from Richmond, Virginia, and he also had a home in New York. He was making his way from Richmond to Philadelphia, where he was supposed to work on a gig, so to speak, editing a now-forgotten woman's poetry, and he never made it there. He probably stopped off in Baltimore on election night to drink with his buddies from West Point, which he was kicked out of, by the way, for insubordination. So he was the tortured poet, perhaps for his entire life.
It is fascinating when you think of the nature of his writing, the fact that this ending, and it was even, but you write that school children pooled money to buy him a grave.
Yes. You know, he was initially buried in an unmarked grave in Westminster Burial Ground in Baltimore. And then in 1875, he was exhumed and a beautiful monument was put up, paid for by the pennies of Baltimore school children, when a penny went further than it does today. And I used to pass by, when I lived in Baltimore, I used to pass by that monument every time I went to the airport, and I always tipped my hat to Edgar Allan Poe.
The 210th birthday this week of one of America's best-known tortured writers, U of N medical historian and PBS contributor, Dr. Howard Markel. Thanks so much.
Thank you.